Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Hello, welcome to the IGN UK podcast. I'm Simon Cardi. With me is Dale Driver. Bleeding edge of video games.
Did you forget what my name was for a second? No. You just couldn't think of a clever nickname.
Yeah. There, that one. You're bleeding.
I am. I just nicked my finger before we came in here.
That was stupid, wasn't it?
Well, it was an accident. Accidents happen. All right, but I've got a plaster on now. I'm all right.
Can't remember the last time I had an accident. That sounds like I can't remember the last time I shot myself. I definitely can't. Al, shot yourself recently?
I haven't, thankfully, no. I've got quite good control of my sphincter, not good control of my mouth.
Control of my sphincter?
Yeah.
Have you not? I've not heard the word sphincter in a long time. Feels like very much a Wayne's World era.
Says what?
Yeah. You got yourself a lozenge there.
I have. I've got a little bit of a sore throat.
I think everyone has this time of year, don't they?
I'm all right, mate.
I just got over. Like I said, I was feeling ill for like last month, but I'm actually feeling quite refreshed now.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
I've been snotting up green stuff for quite a long time.
Yeah, thanks for everyone concerned about my health, but I'm feeling all right, thank you. Do you know, I wasn't feeling all right while playing Call of Duty Spec Ops.
Oh. So I finished the campaign. I was on holiday last week. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. But I did play the campaign, which I loved. Mm-hmm. And obviously it teases up. It's like, see more of the story in Spec Ops. So as soon as I got back, it's like, four of us should play through it. Mm-hmm. And it is a massive letdown.
Yeah. Oh, really? I wasn't playing it, but I heard you guys. You sound like you're having a good time.
So it's me, Al, Jesse and Matt playing. And we were laughing, but mainly laughing because it took us about 10 minutes to kill a juggernaut. Oh. Where we dropped about four kill streaks on it. I got a shield turret out, pummeled about 500 rounds of ammunition into its face, and it still just walked towards me. I don't know what that thing is made of.
The problem is, it's quite an open world map that we played on.
Yeah.
But it still uses the Call of Duty infinite respawn unless you move mm-hmm. forward. So you basically clear out an area, go, right, okay, move on to the next bit. And then a bunch of people spawn from behind and it's like, where did they come from?
It's not very structured. There's nothing spec ops about it, really. No. You're not just, if it was four of us like quietly going through a house, taking people out quietly. But no, it's just a massive city we're running around with five tanks we have to destroy,
which you can blow up with machine guns, which seems a bit weird.
And I had a gunship and I was just pummeling missiles down onto them and they weren't taking any
shooting
damage.
It with my handheld assault rifle.
And so what is Spec Ops then? Is it supplementary stuff to the campaign?
Yeah,
is
it's co-op missions, or you can do, there's like survival mode, which I also tried with Matt, and that is I don't know how you survive that. They call it survival. You're not doing it.
Well, I think that's the challenge.
Is it the key to every survival game? Yeah, but is that you eventually won't survive.
It is like, I'm up for a challenge in games, but it is stupidly difficult.
So some of the issues we faced, we weren't actually able to use some of our killstreaks or perks.
It is a bit buggy as well as being too hard.
So we couldn't restore ammo. We couldn't throw down armor packs and stuff like that, which makes it much harder than it should have been.
Yeah, it's a shame because I was really looking forward to doing those because I'm always up for like a co-op game, and the campaign was good. I enjoyed that. I'm really enjoying the multiplayer, and then the Spec Ops is just meh.
And I think especially after the promise of it continuing the storyline,
yeah,
there's not really much story going on there at all. No. It's like, you know, go here, go there, do this, do that, but like nothing that the campaign game has got. So.
No, and I would warn people as well, like, don't go into Spec Ops. It might be too late for you, and I do apologise. Don't go into Spec Ops before competing in the campaign, because Spec Ops opens with the post-credit scene from the campaign.
Oh, really?
Which will spoil pretty much the whole story for you.
They should have it so... Actually, no, I was going to say they should have it so it only opens after you finish, but then some people might just want to... They might just want to
I think it should at least have a little pop-up warning that said, warning, this will spoil the story.
I did wonder whether that happens... Because obviously we've all finished the campaign, mm-hmm. and so it's playing it. I wonder if you've not... whether it shows you or not, because
I accidentally did it.
Oh, really?
And I quickly turned it off because I don't think I should be seeing this right now.
Okay. Because also, what that shows actually doesn't really lead into much of what you actually play, I don't think.
But the payoff would be a lot less.
Yes.
It would. Yeah, but Call of Duty overall is good, we've said. But yeah, Spec Ops was just, it was just a bit mad.
I mean, you've got
expecting more from it.
You've got a pretty complete package for that game, though, right?
You get so much for your money. Like, you cannot complain about how much you get in a Call of Duty game.
But do you know what? Modern Warfare Spec Ops. Was it Modern Warfare or Modern Warfare 2? I can't remember.
Modern Warfare 1 was really good.
But it was really, exactly. Yeah. And that's what I wanted, some more of that. And then they were, like, really kind of cool, bite-sized missions.
Mm-hmm. They just felt like story missions, didn't they? They didn't feel anything over the top or anything. They were just good story missions you could play with a friend.
And we haven't played all... Is it four Spec Ops
missions? There's four. We've only done the first one.
We played the one, but it was literally, we finished it.
Well, we didn't finish it.
Well, we didn't finish it because the checkpointing is so
punishing. We were doing it
for
a whole hour at lunch and we were like, I thought this would take 10 minutes.
I can't stand games in 2019 with like insane checkpoints.
Yeah.
Like Wolfenstein Youngblood had that as well. It's like, if you put me back half an hour, I'm turning this game off.
It's one of the minor gripes people have of Control as well, that the checkpoint
that's
of that
a good
is.
Point, Although that's built more in like a really soft version of like Dark Souls sort of way, as in like you've got like your bonfire, which is your control points, you know? That I get that idea a little bit more. It can be frustrating, though.
Yeah. Don't make me kill the same 100 goons over again.
Yeah, because it's not fun just doing the same thing over and over again, right?
Don't get me wrong, I like shooting goons. And do you know what? I'd like to say I'm good at it. But people get tired of things they're good at in life.
The Juggernauts.
There's a message for you.
The goon shooter, Cardi. Simon Cardi, the goon shooter.
Yeah, that's what they call me. The goon gunner.
The gunner?
That's too close to being an Arsenal. That's too close to being an Arsenal. I regret everything I said. So last week, if you listened to last week's episode, you may have heard Joe gave a little... a little missive at the start of the podcast. So we've recorded half an hour of Death Stranding chat, which we were going to publish last week until we realised we couldn't.
Yeah.
So that's fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
So aren't you lucky you get me, Joe, Dale and Al all in one podcast?
Yeah, we should probably preface with a couple of bits of information. It was recorded last week.
Yeah.
So I don't think opinions have changed. Well, my opinion hasn't changed, but there might be some things where we're referencing like, oh, there was this article that a review, which was yesterday.
Yeah, sorry. If it sounds a little odd, I don't think it will.
No. But, there might be a couple of things in there, but just beware, it was recorded last week and I think our viewpoints still stand.
So here's half an hour of Death Stranding chat. You two have been waiting quite a while to talk about this game.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't been able to say anything.
Well,
but
I can talk to other people who have played
it. Well,
you've
spoken to me about it, but there's only so much you can talk to me, isn't there?
That talk has mostly been, do you think it's a bit crap as well?
Well, there we go. You can now, you can't talk about everything. No. But you can give your impressions.
We can talk up to a certain point in the story, and we can talk about our impressions beyond that point in the story.
Yeah.
Without... naming specifics.
So, we're not going to spoil, but we might say there is a thing that
I'm the perfect person for this discussion because I haven't gotten past the point where we're not allowed to talk past it.
Oh, so you can talk about everything.
So I literally can't spoil what I'm not allowed.
Whereas though, you finished the game.
I have finished the game. Yes.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I think I had such mixed opinions about it for the longest time. Like for the first week or so, I just didn't know if I liked this game or if I hated this game, because there's a lot, frankly, a lot to hate about it. But
sounds like you didn't love it then.
No, but every now and again, there's things sprinkled in there that are classic like Kojima ideas or new game ideas and moments where you're like, actually, this is brilliant and I do really like this. And I know you're at a section where that's probably happens the most. Yeah. Is like, is, are we allowed to say what, chapter three, I guess?
Yeah.
So chapter three is full of like...
Episode three, please.
Yeah, episode. Sorry. Why do you call them episodes?
Oh, fuck knows.
Yeah, that's another classic.
If your episode's 15 hours long, you're not making good TV.
Oh, it's all like unbalanced like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, chapter three definitely feels like the most gamey part of it. And is, yes, the core game is making deliveries, right? That's what you do for the longest time in this game. But chapter three has other things going on and it's a bit more interesting.
Well, and it also makes the process of delivering more interesting for the first time.
Yes.
So I'm 16, 17 hours in, which, you know, take that as you want. Like, up top, I'd like to say I am very glad that this game exists and I'm very glad that this game can exist. Right. Like, we are allowing very strange people to have a lot of money and make what they want, which I think is genuinely important and will lead to good stuff.
Sure.
I just don't think this is necessarily the best version of what could have happened out of this situation.
I've always felt this way, and I did a tweet earlier which is about like George Lucas comparison, where I think there is a way to channel like genius ideas.
Yep.
And when you've got other people around you who can be like things to sound off ideas against. Mm-hmm. And I feel like George Lucas with the prequel trilogy, Kojima didn't have this on this occasion. I think he was given carte blanche to do whatever he wanted and no one's there to say, actually, that's a bit of a shit idea. Maybe we should rethink this.
Yep.
It's just whatever he says goes. And I think that's to its detriment.
Well, this also feels to me very much like story first game design.
Absolutely. So that's what I've heard. I haven't played a single second of this game, but from everything I've read and spoken to you guys about, it feels like there is stuff in there that's good.
Mm.
If it was maybe 10, 15 hours, it would be a very good game, but it's 50 to 60.
I absolutely agree with that. I think there is enough in there to make a really tight... fun, and it could still be about the core concept of delivery, like packages and connecting America. It just doesn't have to be so stretched out. There is right, how do I skirt around this, but there's a bit towards the latter half of the game where something is requested of you and it had me so frustrated that I had to just turn the PlayStation off and I was just like, fuck this game, I couldn't be out. And I came back to it a couple of days later, but there's elements like that didn't need to be there. It could have been this tight like 20 hours, I think, and it would have been a much better game.
Well, this is an interesting thing. Like, only yesterday I was listening to a film podcast called The Rewatchables, which is very good, by the way. You should listen to The Rewatchables. Yeah. And a guy on that, Chris Ryan, was talking about The Shining, and he talks about this very interesting point in Hollywood history where in the 80s, it was probably the first time where every major film studio was now owned by a big company.
Mm.
And they all had big company money, but they also hadn't turned into corporate film creation structures yet. So they still had this idea that to make a truly successful film, you have to have a filmmaker making it, which is why you get things like Kubrick making The Shining.
You get The Rise of Scorsese and Coppola.
Because that was all like late 70s independence that was suddenly being given some more money.
Then you
money.
Get Spielberg coming.
Yeah, and then there's, you know, Apocalypse Now is the most famous version of give a man infinite money and see what he does.
Yeah.
But ultimately what came out of that is an absolute masterpiece.
Yeah. No, but this is the interesting thing. You have all the stuff we don't remember.
Yeah.
Is because it was bad.
Yeah.
And like, I think we're seeing a version of that now where we have hit the first time where it's like these people have been storied for years and years. I think Kojima's a slightly different case, but he is now a man in Kubrick's position where like he is seen as top of his game. And someone out there is willing to give him as much money and time as he needs to make whatever he wants.
Some people feel that about Barry Lyndon. A lot of people think that's a very, very dull film.
Mm.
And a lot of people think it's his best film.
Yeah.
But we have to say here, we're kind of... I don't have an opinion because I haven't played it, but we're in the minority, both you guys and Tristan, our review. The review is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I think our review is fantastic.
Review, are in the minority because a lot of people are giving this game 9s and 10s.
I struggle to understand some of those thought processes. If I'm being honest, I mean, obviously Evans has different opinions, but I see a lot of people who are giving those scores are very much fixated on the story aspects of it and not just a core gameplay loop. And for me, that's what matters the most. And if getting to each story beat is this hour slog in between, is that a fun experience? Are we having a good time?
I'm the opposite. I like the slog in between, and I hate the story beats.
Okay.
Like, everything about this game's story bothers me.
Mm.
It's told badly. It's incomprehensible. It's Kojima thinking he's smarter than you when he's actually much stupider than you.
Oh, and
there's this idea that, like, he's telling this... This is it. I actually... A lot of the positives that I disagree with, I understand how people have got them and how they feel those way about those things that I don't like as much. So things like... The inventory management being incredibly annoying, but some people like the fiddliness and like the idea of micromanagement, that kind of stuff.
Well,
I understand
that. It's kind of similar why some people don't understand why Football Manager is so good.
Yeah.
Because that's all just database and inventory management,
it's,
really.
It's taste.
But, you know.
The stuff I... The one criticism I really... Actually, there's two I've seen. The one I've really struggled with is people saying, like, the message and themes of this game are incredibly important. And to me, this game is such... a weak, transparent metaphor. It's no surprise this game was made, started being made just as Trump was about to be elected.
Mm-hmm.
The entire game is about how America is fractured and it needs to be reconnected, which is not a bad metaphor or a bad message. It's just the easiest possible one you can have.
Yeah.
Like, this is a game literally about reconnecting America. And, like, I don't see how you can take much more out of it. And anything else he adds on top of it is fucking nonsense.
Make America whole again.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The number of times people say make America whole again is quite astonishing.
All the characters, like, feel, like, very poorly inconceived as well. Like terrible naming structures, we already know about them. We already know about, like, Die Hard Man and, and Dead Man and Heart Man.
It's funny every time someone says Die Hard Man.
In the game, they don't even, like, sometimes they pronounce it Die Hard Man, sometimes they pronounce it Die Hard Man. It's like, they can't even decide
in
the world.
That's the bit I can kind of let off, because Metal Gear's story and cutscenes, they've always been...
Shite.
They've always been a matter of taste for people.
I can tell you
But the thing that's baffling to me about Death Stranding is that, from what I'm hearing, the stealth is not good, which is the one thing that Kojima... is effectively created.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think the stealth is woeful.
But I don't even think... I think calling it stealth is generous as well. Like, it, the breadth of stealth is hide in some tall grass and then just shout them over and then they come over. That's... what else is there really to it?
And they kind of queue up to fight you. So there's no element of, like, if you're outnumbered... just run away and use this one thing, the strand, which is a weapon that you can parry and insta-kill with. And it's not unlocked later on. It's the first weapon you get.
Yeah.
It's the first weapon and the most powerful weapon in the game.
I mean, they never outright said this game was a stealth game, right? And I think that's fair.
To introduce... There are two types of stealth in this, if we're going to call it that.
Okay, right.
Stealth action.
Okay.
There's mules, who are people addicted to making deliveries.
Yes.
Ooh.
Let's unpack that.
Do you know what? Something I found out yesterday as well. If you're in their zone and you have cargo on their back, they'll scan you. And if they see that cargo on their scanners, they'll hunt you down because they want that cargo to deliver it themselves, I guess. But apparently, if you go into the area and you don't have cargo on your back, if they see you, all they'll do is just be fixated on protecting their existing cargo.
No, that's
cool. Trying to stop you getting near it.
You know, I don't think we can do down Kojima's commitment to mechanics. Like, he does do that well.
Absolutely.
But... like, mules, these people are a stupid idea for characters.
Yeah.
Like, they're bandits who are addicted to making deliveries, and like, so genuinely,
when you say it out loud, it's so bad, isn't it?
And it's genuinely, like, bad combat.
Yes,
they amount to things that can stop you from going past them in vehicles by disabling your vehicles for like a minute or two at a time.
Oh god, that's so frustrating.
Deeply, deeply irritating, and in no way like a challenge to be overcome. It's just annoying.
Yeah.
And they can throw those javelins like
they're really
into
good.
The sky.
Yeah. They're really good at throwing those javelins.
And they're unerringly accurate every single time. And B, like when you actually get into combat with them, it is as simple as mash square, use the strand, or shoot them with a bowler gun. Almost all of which are like insta-kill.
Or throw some cargo at them as well.
But then you're damaging your cargo, which is annoying. So they're poor.
Yeah.
BTs are the invisible ghosts that we've seen throughout. Beached things.
I didn't, like, 10 hours into that game, I still didn't know what BT stood for. I had to ask Joe, and he's like, it's beached things.
And they are, when it rains, you'll enter certain areas and you'll get a mad long cutscene of your fucking scanner coming out to tell you that they're nearby.
That is quite a cool term.
Timefall's great. The timefall's very cool. Also, like the effect it has, it rains on the ground and plants sprout and die constantly on the ground. That it's an amazing effect.
But doesn't it age different, like including your cargo? It ages like metal.
So it rusts it and stuff. So it just accelerates.
If you're out too long, your cargo breaks and you have to like spray a special spray on it to untime it. I don't know.
Towards the start. Anyway, it gets easier than
that. Right. Yeah, right. And the beach things are static, occasionally teleporting enemies that you have to just creep past or throw some blood at.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I think they're kind of, it's kind of intimidating and a spectacle the first few times you do it. Once you work out the mechanics of it and really get your head around it, it was just an annoyance going through these things. Like, I know what I've got to do. I've got to crouch, just keep walking. As soon as it prompts me to hold my breath, press R1 to hold my breath, keep walking a little bit, let go of my breath, and then rinse and repeat until you get through.
What happens in this game? So if you get caught by them, you go into the little boss fights we've seen, is that right?
Yeah, sort of.
Kind of.
So if you get try to get dragged down into the tower first, and then if they're successful in doing that, then it will trigger, then the landscape around you will change, and then a boss fight will trigger.
And what happens if, like, what is the dying, is it a spoiler to say, like, say you get killed in one of these boss fights?
Yes.
Do you just respawn back where you started the journey, or?
So there's a couple of different ways it happens. Yeah. I don't know how much we want to go into
this. Within chapter one.
Yeah.
Would you say this stuff, but it is a story spectacle.
Yeah.
There is a method of respawning that is tied into the story.
Okay. Yes.
And when I mean story in the loosest possible sense.
From what I've heard, there's no real fail state.
No, so there absolutely is.
There is?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But not for those situations, but there's absolutely a game over, you failed, load your last save, prompt that come up. But there's different reasons for those happening. Like, so you didn't fulfill some sort of story-based obligation.
Okay. So if you
I don't want to go into any more than that.
Say you're doing a journey from A to B to deliver a package. What happens if you get to B without that package?
It tells you to go and pick up that package.
I've done that, by the way, several times.
Rubbish postman.
No, once was stupidity because I didn't notice that I needed the package and I was redistributing my weight, so I put something down, thought I'll come back for this later, and I put the wrong thing down. That was me being stupid. And another time was I just feel like it wasn't clear enough telling me what I had to take. And I just thought I had to get to this place. I got to this place. And then you were like, oh, no, you're not supposed to bring this here. You're supposed to take this somewhere else first. So I had to do loads of
backtracking. Star items, like that's your mission item or anything.
It does, but it gets a bit muckier as it goes along.
Well, the inventory screen is a fucking disgrace.
Yes. The UI is terrible. It takes a long time to really get used to reading that thing.
If you don't have a 65-inch TV, by the way, you're fucked. I've got a 40-inch TV, and I'm having to go up next to it sometimes read bits.
It is really bad. And like, for example, when you complete a delivery, there's like three different screens with results and information. They have a button that says auto skip because there's so much data filling
in. This is the thing. The game acknowledges its own faults mechanically so often. Yeah. So like, you get annoyed with the BTs, it becomes a slog very quickly. Mm-hmm. In chapter 3, it introduces a new mechanic which allows you to predict where BTs will be and skip those encounters. Mm. That is a transparent bit of design going, this is annoying and you don't want to do it, so we've found a way around it. That means you've designed a bad bit of gameplay.
Yeah. It gets even worse as well. It becomes our new ways to make it easier to get through those areas.
Like, and that's like, I don't mind a game where it's like, it starts hard and gets easy. Yeah. But if you're acknowledging that what you want to do is never do that again and provide as many options not to do it, you fucked it.
Yeah.
Like, that's just bad.
From what I've seen, it does look like there's some set pieces as well, which I've seen that look visually just incredible.
Oh, so let's switch into positives now. Because I do actually, like, there have been moments playing this game where I'm like, fuck, is this the game? I'm so happy this is what it is.
Well, I'm hearing from both of you, it's kind of, I'm just going to adjust my mic. Sorry if there's noise.
Might be a bit noisy.
Dipping.
Yeah. There you go.
There we go.
Lovely.
But what I'm hearing from you guys and from Tristan, our reviewer, it is an okay game. It's not an absolute disaster.
Can I give you my pitch that sounds really boring, but I mean in a genuine, from my perspective, is extremely positive.
Go on.
This game, when it is a hiking game, is bad. This game, when it is in a game about orienteering, is fucking wicked.
What?
Right? So, your core act is essentially get from here to here, and the game makes it hard to get from here to here. That's the game, and I like that game, and I've said it since before, if this is the game this is, I will like it. It is a game in which I feel more in touch with like the terrain of a world than I ever have. Like, you know how everyone talked about like Breath of the Wild is the first game that really got me to engage with the idea of like cliffs or hills or like these things being useful to me in some way or challenges.
You're still on me, you're just going up to them and holding them one button.
So like this is way beyond that. This is like I see an area with a load of scree and rocks that way, and I see an area with some grass over that way, and I'm making my decision of which is going to be harder to get up and which is going to be more beneficial to me, depending on whether I'm walking on a bike, using a floating carrier thing.
If there's BTs in the area.
If there's BTs in the area. Like, the stuff where I'm planning my route and finding the easiest way around and using tools to do that stuff, that is the game I desperately want to play. And I wish Kojima had had a writer writing something else that involved him making this game alongside that.
I think he's great at mechanics. I agree, but just everything that surrounds it.
So my problem with this is that all of that stuff's great. I love getting to a place and being like, I could put a ladder there. I could put a rope there. Someone's already left a rope over there. And you're creating, like, in your head, a route. And then you're on a map and going plot to here, using the topography of the area. Sometimes you're like, I bet I can take this route. So I think it was Julian Benson from Lad Bible put it really well on Twitter today in a reply to me talking to someone about it. He said, I've loved feeling like I've created this path and I get somewhere and suddenly go, fuck, I think I've taken the wrong route. Yes. This is really bad. And then you see someone else's rope in front of you and you suddenly go, glad someone else made this same mistake.
Absolutely.
And like, that feels fucking really cool, because you get this, like, this is Kojima's idea of strand gaming, whatever the fuck that means. This idea that you are walking the same footsteps as someone else without realizing
intrigued to see, like, if I start this game, say, a month after release, is everything going to be built for me? Servers going to be like?
So this is my favorite thing in the game as well. So how it works is the area, you don't see other online activity in the area until you activate it. So you have to get to the prepper station or wherever you go and use the chiral network, activate the chiral network, and then it makes everything online available to you.
It's essentially...
It's not everything online. It'll just pick and choose certain things.
Okay. So in old Ubisoft games, you unlock bits of the map, and that's like you can find stuff here or travel here. Yeah. In this, what you're doing is that map is always open, but your connection to other players online is not opened until you activate that area by doing tasks.
Okay.
Which I think works really nicely on the whole. It doesn't work well at the start of the game. At the start of the game, it feels like every single solution has been provided for you already.
That's because they're almost definitely not the online ones. They're just in-game.
There's online stuff in Chapter 1. And there are people with like 100...
Even before you've activated the chiral network?
I'm thinking Chapter 2. Sorry, when you first get bridges.
Yeah. Because there is some ladders and stuff like that. You can tell that, you know, normally this would be an online player, but they've put this here because it's the start of the game and they're guiding you through how it works.
There were bits like... 2 days after the code went out where people had like 100,000 likes, which is the reward system in the game. So you were seeing people, it's like that bridge will be in most players' games because it is rated so much higher than any other rating. I don't know how they're going to deal with that as an algorithm thing, but it's going to pull that bridge into the majority of players' games.
There's also when there's the death state we were talking about earlier, there's a chance to connect with other players, and if you do that, you're more likely to see their things in your world as well. It tells you that. But yeah, Joe's right. Like, the more likes you get, the more likely it is to be in someone's world. Like, towards the end of the game, I just kept seeing this one person's objects all the time because he'd put the right things in the right places, and obviously there wasn't that many people towards the end of the game doing it. But I think that, like, my favorite part of the game is activating the network, looking at that journey I've just completed and saying, how can I make this easy for someone else? Okay, I'm going to place this object here, knowing that people will probably like this because it's going to be really helpful for people. I've done that a few times and I had, like, you know, not thousands. Well, I've had 1,000 likes on one thing that I've put down.
It's a lovely ladder. You should be proud of
it. It wasn't a ladder. It was something else. But actually, like I say, because it's near the start of the game, so it's a timeful shelter that I put down.
Ooh. I found that.
Did you?
I liked it the other day.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. But I put it in the exact right place for people that would be really useful. And then, you know, that there's a cycle, and it's like there's something to be said for that, just that satisfying.
So is
like,
the rain
reward.
Dynamic? Does it just start and stop randomly in areas? Or
you
is
can
it
see
through a whole area
there
in
are,
the game?
There are areas where rain never stops.
Okay.
There has to be rain. They're scripted, essentially. Yeah. But there are areas of the game where it can be or can't be raining, and that's a changing state.
You can also get like timefall snow as well, and there's different types of weather and stuff like that. And there's you see like 30-minute weather predictions of where pockets of weather are going to be.
Here's a boring question. Is there an actual day-night cycle? Does it get dark?
No.
It never gets dark?
I'm very glad it doesn't.
Yeah, because that would be
very,
awful.
Very annoying. Yeah. Well, and so this is back to my orienteering versus hiking point. Orienteering is great. I love the idea of finding my way and feeling like mine and feeling like other people's as well.
Yeah.
When it gets down to micromanagement of weight distribution is where it breaks its own back, because for want of a better term, because you get this idea of like, you get this feeling of I've chosen my route and I'm doing a lot of work to get there, but the game is actively annoying you for trying to do that. Mm. So you're like, if you have a lot of cargo, you will physically have to be holding L2 and R2 almost the entire time to shift your weight left and right as constantly.
Yeah.
It is not fun. It is really, really annoying and serves almost no purpose other than to distract you from all the good stuff that's happening.
So because, did you do that? I saw Tristan was doing that, like constantly holding L2 and R2. I would just held them both the entire time.
But then your stamina goes down quicker. And that means so like that constantly uses your stamina.
I was just chugging a lot of Monster Energy drink non-stop. Just stopping every now and again, chugging a drink and then carrying on.
Have you watched AMC's Ride?
Which is also advertised in the game. But this is like, this is the problem to me, is he constantly does this thing where he creates something cool and then just does one little thing that just sort of undoes it.
Yeah.
And like, that fucking sucks, because the game I want to play is being taken away from me. Because also, like, this is one of the best games looking games I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
The world is unbelievable. Like, if you played Horizon, you know how good this engine makes the world look.
Yeah.
But this is far, far beyond Horizon's achievement in world design. Like, this weird version of the US where it's Iceland and Ireland somehow.
And it's surprisingly condensed as well, even though you're going from the East Coast to the West Coast.
Like, I'm fine with all that. It looks incredible. Waterfalls in this game are some of the most incredible things I've ever seen in a game.
I think if you watch the launch trailer, like, that has real great examples of some of the most beautiful things in the game.
But
like,
would you also warn against people doing that?
So I think it has loads of stuff in the right at the end of the game in there, but I don't know if without context you would get that. I know because I've finished it, but to anyone else it might just look
not knowing the game at all, watching that, I was like, I feel like there's a lot of cool moments here that are being ruined for me.
Maybe, yeah. It's hard to say from my perspective because I'd already finished it before that trailer came out. But there is a lot of, like, I think the most beautiful shot in the game is in that trailer.
Yeah.
And I saw that and I was like, it's a stunning shot. But that is literally in the last half an hour of the game.
Shit.
Yeah.
But this is, like, again, this is part of the problem, because he creates this amazing world that you want to look at constantly. And it's, like, weirdly bleak and empty. And, like, every so often you'll find a pocket of humanity or ex-humanity. Mm. Like empty houses or something, and you're like, shit, this is cool.
Yeah.
Like, this feels amazing. There's a bit where I found like a farm, and you're like,
Timefall farm.
Yeah, and you're like, this is the first time I've seen a human settlement working above ground for 20 hours, and it feels special. Like, that's not a spoiler in as much as the story. That's just like, it's a cool world. Yeah. It prizes those moments.
I'm sure we'll have more to talk about this game, especially when we can, probably when more of us play it, we can do a bit more of a spoiler chat.
We should absolutely do a spoiler chat, by the way, when if we manage to get three people in this office who finished the game.
Yeah. But like, this is the problem, is like, you have this, I think this is actually a problem with the kind of a metaphor for the game's problems as a whole. You get this idea that this world's this giant, open, beautiful place, and all you're concentrating on is pressing L2 and R2 and watching the bottom of your screen to see which one you need to be pressing at any one time. And that is Death Stranding. It's a game that constantly reduces your worldview from the great thing it could have been.
I have been hearing words like laborious, arduous, which are words I don't really normally want to associate with games, to be honest.
And there will be a sizable proportion of the people listening to this who just like it.
Yeah.
And they will just like the story, and they will just like it, and they'll like it more than us. And that's fantastic, and I'm so glad.
Yeah.
I wish I liked it more.
Yeah. I just to say one last thing that really irritates me as well. When I think of Kojima games, more specifically Metal Gear Solid games, I think of all these characters, and we saw these characters beforehand. We know about Daihama, we know about Hatman, all this stuff. and you expect them to be like, okay, each one of these could potentially be a boss with really unique ideas. Mm. I used to look forward to that so much in Metal Gear, like, what is this boss going to be? In this, it doesn't have that in the slightest. Mm. It's every boss fight is pretty much identical what you do. Like, there's like two types, and it's so frustrating because I was just looking for, okay, now we're going to have a great set piece and there's going to be some really unique thing. I want a thing like the end where if you wait long enough, he dies of old age. Mm. So there's nothing like that, and it just feels like he was creatively like uninspired with that sort of stuff. He mainly
or just uninterested.
Yeah, maybe. He just mainly focused on the story beats and not actually how can I make this game more interesting, the actual act of playing it more interesting. And I think that kind of summarizes like the whole game for me. Really.
There is a part of me that just wants Kojima to make a film to get it out of his system. Yeah. And just make a game again.
Starring Norman Reedus and Mads Mikkelsen and all his other mates.
Have a lovely time. Yeah. What a strange game.
Yeah. It's very weird.
I'm just going to properly adjust this. Okay. We'll cut this out.
Maybe slide it down a little bit and tighten it up that way. When are we going to do the tweet stuff? Should we do that at the end? Or should we do that now?
Do you want to do that?
Oh, should we do that now? Yeah.
I think. Yeah, I'll do that.
Or do you want to read, pick them, read them?
Shall I read them, yeah.
And just taking turns to like respond to
answer any of them.
Search.
So you can find it.
IGN UK.
Do you mind editing this? Because I've got...
Motherfucker.
Last of Us to get done.
Have you got to get it done this weekend?
Yeah, it's most of the way there.
Okay.
I've just got to make sure it is done. So, before this episode, we did... ask for some Twitter questions for you lovely boys.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask them out here now. Okay, you ready?
Ask them out here now.
You ready? Ask them out here now. This one's from Callum. He says, 6.8 was extremely harsh, though.
That's our review score on the site.
Yeah, yeah. This is his comment, which, if you don't mind, I'll deconstruct this one, actually. 6.8 was extremely harsh, though. Considering Control got an 8.8 and is broken, and FIFA gets well over a 7... every time. Well, here we go. Here's the thing about this. It's extremely harsh. I'm assuming here, Callum, you haven't played the game, so it's a bizarre thing to say for something you haven't played.
Does seem unlikely that you've played it, unless you're an incredibly unprofessional game journalist.
Yeah. But considering Control got an 8.8, which I think is a brilliant game, and it's broken.
I don't think
it's a broken game. There's a couple of technical issues. There's some technical issues, but it's in no way a broken game.
No.
And FIFA gets well over a 7 every time. I think I gave it a 7.8 this year, and I think that's because they're consistently good games.
It has deserved a 7 from the last
7 point game, something is good.
If you like football, they are a good
game. Yeah. The idea that
one wasn't really about Death Stranding, but it's a nice event, isn't
the
it?
The idea that you're comparing... the score for a FIFA game to a score for a Death Stranding game means you... A Death Stranding game. A Social Strand game. does tell me that you don't understand what review scores are for. Yeah. So, good one, Callum.
Cheers for the feedback, though.
He doesn't listen. Yeah.
This one's from Phil Sinclair, who says, should people focus more on the social strand... on the social strands when playing over the so-called delivery driver gameplay. Is there a way to do that?
They're mostly one and the same.
Yeah, there is no way to focus on one or above the other. Like, the delivery element or the element of getting from one place to another is enabled partly by the social strand stuff. And both, when they work, are the best things in the game.
Yeah. Mm. There's something to be said towards the latter half of the game where I would complete a delivery and I would think, okay, now I'm going to go and build some structures to make my life getting back here a little bit easier.
Well, also, I remember passing places where I couldn't... So it is worth pointing out that you are not allowed to build certain structures until you connect a network in an area. So there were moments where I remembered getting somewhere and going, oh, I wish I had this. Mm. And I would... backtrack to go and build it for other people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And like, that's the game working. That's the game giving me the feedback that I need.
Absolutely my favorite thing to do in a game. And then there's a construct you can build later on in the game. I won't go too much into it, but I spent so much time having fun with that, and I was like, at that time I was like, this is the most fun I've had with this game.
Yeah.
And then it becomes useless in period, and there's chapters where you don't get to do those sort of things, and it takes it away from you, and that's
and that kind of leads on to Chris's question, which is how much slogging along and backtracking is involved.
Loads.
Is there a lot of backtracking? So I got the impression that you're constantly moving
along.
Mate, No.
No. I'm still in the process of moving along, and it's making me do a fuckload
and
of backtracking.
Joe doesn't even know the half of it. Yeah, yeah. There is a lot of backtracking.
This one's from Sean. Is there actually a point to being able to piss everywhere?
You relieve yourself? I don't know. Like, so... The point of pissing in your private quarters is to make grenades.
You make piss grenades.
Yeah.
Just to point out, when you have a shower, you make grenade type 0. When you have a piss, you make grenade type 1. And when you have a shit, you make grenade number 2. That is a thing.
Amazing.
Relieving yourself and the public. Do you know what? I haven't seen a real benefit from doing it. He does.
It does make those like hologram mushrooms, but I don't know what
pointless.
They do.
You can't interact with them or anything like that.
Do they grow for other people? Can they eat your piss mushrooms?
And not that I've seen. I've never seen anyone else.
They should
know
if poo, then you could have a real problem with shiitake there.
They just exist. I did see Tristan, the guy who reviewed the game for us, saying a funny story where he was on the edge of a cliff and he pissed, and then he slipped on the piss and fell over and died.
So I've gotten up to cliffs and they have no piss signs on them, where that's clearly happened to people.
Isn't Mads Mikkelsen character called Cliff?
He is called Cliff.
He is.
Yeah.
Piss over on a cliff, onto cliff.
Piss on cliff.
We've got one more here. It's from another Chris. He says, the trailers seem to give a lot of importance to emotions in the game, with the recent launch trailer showing most of the characters crying and in anguish.
Oh,
does this come through well in the acting and writing, or does it come off as corny?
It's rubbish. Yeah. And also, I should point out that most of the time you see people crying in trailers, that is an allergic reaction to chiral resonance.
Oh, don't they have to do it all the time? They're always shedding a little tear.
Does anyone smile in this game once? I've not seen a smile.
Yeah, a couple.
Apart from maybe from BB.
Norman Reedus
Del
smiles.
Del Toro's character, Deadman, is kind of the... He's. I get the impression that Kojima thinks we'll like him more than maybe we do. And he's like almost like the comic relief in some parts. Like, or he's at least attempted to be. I just found him weird the entire time. I didn't like him. There's one bit he does in the game. It's super creepy, but he plays off as if it's just a bit of fun.
I still haven't played any Death Stranding, but I am looking forward to kicking up things off this week, hopefully.
See, I'm not really interested in playing anymore, but I do want to dive in when it becomes open, well, it's now, I guess, to the public, just to see how all the social stuff works with the public and not just press. Yeah.
It's still, even though I've seen so many different opinions on this game, and I'm already kind of sick of it before playing a second of it, but I do. It's definitely one of those where I feel like I'd be cheating myself if I didn't play it and try it and form my own opinion of it. Because for all I know, I could be on the side of thinking this is brilliant.
Yeah. So I was talking to Al about this yesterday because I am pretty confident that he will not like this game. But I still think everyone should give it a go because you never know. And also it's nice to have your own opinion about it.
I've listened and read a lot of different opinions and there's a lot of it that sounds like it will just irritate me. But then there's a lot of it where I'm like, do you know what? This sounds like the sort of thing if it was a film that I'd love. So I'm still not 100%. Yeah. I don't know what way I'm going to fall. Who knows? Stay tuned for what I think of Death Stranding. The ultimate opinion.
The ultimate, is that right? Yours is the only one.
Not
that
the IGN official review.
Oh my God.
Simon Cowdy's UK podcast review.
It's just the global opinion in a nutshell.
And do you know what? It will be something like, oh, it was all right.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised. I'm just like, yeah, it's all right, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a bit long, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you know what's better than all right, though? Overwatch.
Is
That's
it?
A game. Whoa. There's another one coming, Dale. Have you heard about that?
I have heard, yeah.
Overwatch 2 was announced at the weekend.
It's exciting as well because I remember there was the leak about it as well. I remember we were talking about it and there was the theory that it was going to be what, like Fortnite's Chapter 2 is? Mm-hmm. Is it called Chapter 2?
Yeah. Fortnite Chapter 2.
The theory that it was going to be like that for original Overwatch, but this is like a full-fledged sequel.
It's a sequel. They want to redefine what a sequel is, though. So all of your progress carries over from Overwatch, all your skins, all the characters still there. And the cool thing is all the new heroes and maps they'll be adding to Overwatch 2 you get if you... in Overwatch 1, so they're not shutting down those servers.
Well,
you can still cross play.
In that respect, it is quite a lot like Fortnite, in that it's an extension of the original, but if you buy the second game, you get this whole PvP.
Yeah, crucially,
stuff.
You don't get all of the PvE story and hero missions, which is really the draw for me this time.
So I imagine this has got to be next gen game, right?
They've said PS4, Xbox One, and Switch it's coming to.
It's going to be cross-gen.
It's definitely going to be cross-gen.
I'm very surprised that they've said it's coming to Switch. Yeah. But
well, this feels like the thing that I think Siege has to do as well at some point. It's like, next-gen's coming. You need to make a like a fresher version of this.
I think that's what they mean by redefine a sequel, because we're in this era of games as a service, and I think Siege will do a similar thing. Like, you still get all the ops, the maps, they're coming to Rainbow Six Siege 2 on PS5 or whatever, but it will look nicer on the new console, and there'll be some stuff you can't get. Similar with, like, eventually Apex will have to update itself. Whether they just do the gradual patching, so like in a year or two it just looks different to it does now, I don't think, because that's a free-to-play game, it's different, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, all this story stuff, it's what I've wanted from Overwatch pretty much since I started playing it.
And what about the push mode? Does that look interesting? The push,
it's just enough, it's very similar to Payload.
I was going
to
say, right, I only watched a trailer of it, and I saw that and I was like, they're lording this as if it's some new, it just seems like the thing that's pushing has changed.
It's different, so there's only, it's not like one team attacks, one team defends, it starts in the middle, and it's basically tug of war, so okay, both sides are trying to push it, and there's checkpoints, so...
That's still kind of payload-y, though.
It's kind of, but they said it's more flanky, the maps are more open and symmetrical on either side, so it's kind of almost like Control crossed with Escort, and it's, I don't know, it's interesting. I just like the big talking robot they have that pushes the payload, he seems quite fun.
How does he, like, so I've only seen a clip in the trailer. How does he push it the other way? Does he pull, or does he run around the other side?
He literally turns around and says stuff like, oh, back we go, and then, like, goes and pushes it back the other way.
Oh. Does he have to walk around
Does he have to walk around, or does he pull? Because he's a big boy.
Does he pull?
It's like, why, isn't it?
That's a good question. I can't remember if he walks around it and pushes. Well, the mode is called push. It's not called push and pull. So I'm guessing he walks around it and pushes.
Oh, that's frustrating. Maybe you've got to wait for him to walk around. It's like, come on.
Or maybe he's like holographic where he just disappears and rises up the other side or something.
Oh, do you know what? Maybe I'm getting... Maybe... Is there more than one payload and he has to... I think I might be getting it wrong. I should have...
You're getting things wrong on the podcast again, mate.
Oh, man. What do you mean things getting things wrong on the podcast? Again. can't remember if you have one each now and he has to walk back to the other one and push that. I think it might be each team has their own payload. Oh. And it's whoever gets theirs furthest. You move the robot like...
Oh, so it's like a race?
Pretty much. Right. It's whoever gets to... So if you get to the other team's end first, the game automatically ends.
So or they can cross over each other at some point then?
Yeah, I think you have one each now. I should have done my research. I was just going to talk about the story stuff and then you mentioned push.
Well, I thought...
Put him on the back foot.
You are the self-proclaimed Overwatch guru.
Am I?
Yes.
Yeah, you're always saying that.
Yeah, well, I'm always saying that. I love the game. But yeah, story is what I'm really looking forward to because I want those missions.
Yeah, I want
those
co-op missions.
The story missions kind of look more like a good Spec Ops experience than a four-player.
I was going to say, it's all co-op, right? I guess you maybe can play on your own with AI or something.
I don't know if you can. They haven't said that, but I'm assuming you could just go online and team up with
people. Play with randos.
Yeah. But yeah, they look good. They kind of... So I've seen the Rio de Janeiro mission they've got, which is like introducing Lucio to everyone. So in the story, he's never actually met anyone yet. And there's some cool interactions there. And it starts off a bit like one of the like archive events. It looks a bit like, oh, is this just Horde mode? But then more stuff starts happening. You have to actually, there's objectives. And it's quite a dynamic map, whereas a lot of Overwatch maps stay the same. There's a lot of destruction happening.
How do they balance for, like, obviously, there's a big difference between choosing a healer and choosing a tank. And choosing DPS or something. How is the story mode going to balance for that?
It basically... So the story mode mission, as far as I know, it's set. There's four heroes and you have to choose which one of the four play. Right. So it's not like your... So it's not like free choice.
Avengers are doing.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of... It is very similar in structure to it. Looks like what the Avengers are doing. And yeah, I'm up for that.
Yeah, sounds cool.
Mm. Yeah.
Sounds cool. Should be cool to play in the office.
It's still
maybe.
And the cinematic. It's still got to be a while.
That went with it. That was amazing.
That cinematic. That like that
I heard
made
that
me
Matt
emotional.
Cried.
Did he?
No, someone told me that.
I'd be surprised.
That Matt welled up a little bit.
I was getting like there was the moment when Genji comes in. Never have I been so happy to hear a Genji ult. But
he's got a hoodie on now, mate.
I know, it's good. But no, I was saying, like, there was a little bit of like, this is like spine tingly stuff. Like they've done in the space of what? 40 minutes of cinematics, what the Avengers films to me have done in 25 films. Like that moment when they all team up and come
That's
together
a bold
was
statement,
a
isn't
know,
it?
Right?
Wow.
I felt it when they all came together for the first time and thought that it was like this was like
you
the Avengers
playing
assemble
all together
moment
all the time.
What?
You see them playing together
but
all
it's
the
not,
time.
You don't see them in it's not like those cinematics are
I do
so
think
good.
Like cuz obviously Kojima this week announced that Kojima Productions are going to move into movies as well. It's like, oh my God.
Jesus Christ, mate.
But I still would love to see an Overwatch short film, like a proper, because I think they're very good at storytelling. The characters they create are amazing.
I would imagine just like an Overwatch Netflix series that focused on a different hero each time, and they all go, just do that. I mean, that's kind of what we're getting with the story mission. Each one starts and ends with a cutscene and a cinematic, so...
You get it then, and you get to play as well.
I just hope the crux of it will be, like, is it story missions? Does it launch with just 4 or 5 story missions, and it's an hour's worth of content? Or are we getting a full 16 to 20, like, a full campaign? I know it's the sort of thing they'll probably, every 3 months, introduce a new story mission, but I just hope they launch with enough...
It can't be...
It's got to be more. They've got to launch with enough for people not just to go, well, it's just Overwatch 1.5, which is going to be the debate for the next year, I think.
All the existing heroes transferred over?
Yeah, everything transfers over.
So then, but obviously parts of it could feel like 1.5. Mm. That's why they're making the big story mode.
Exactly. I just hope it's enough. I know.
Also, I wonder how many people who play Overwatch actually want that, though. Because I personally, I'd quite like it, but that's not what that game is.
I think it's just also future proofing as well, so that this will be Overwatch on PS5 and Xbox, whatever they're going to call that next.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm excited. Probably a while away yet, but
yeah. Although, like, I was surprised that they've got, like, people have actually played. I know it's only a very small piece of it, but the fact that they just announced it and then there's people already having a go on it. Blizzard, seems like it's quite far
Blizzard
along.
Blizzard always do that, I think.
First Overwatch, though. That was playable really far ahead.
About a year and a half in advance,
out.
I think. Yeah. But, yeah, exciting times. Do you know what else are exciting times? No, a little gamer, go on, name them.
Inside, it's a UK IGN crew. Yeah. Yeah, and the ones and twos, we got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Hold tight, the DJ, we're coming through. Yeah, and the ones and twos, we got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Is the endless search?
No mystery about this one. The endless search is gone, name them this week.
Okay, alright.
We all know how that works. You might not if you've never heard it before, so I'll briefly explain. Basically, I give a topic, it'll have a set number of answers in that topic, such as how many Zelda games can you name? I don't know, there's probably around 20 of those.
Is that one of the questions?
And then, no, it's not.
Okay.
That was the first ever one.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And then Dale and I will bid against each other to see how many of those they can name, and then whoever decides to put the other person in will just say, go on, name them.
I like this game.
It's simple, and it's quick, it's effective, and it's fun for all the family.
And if you know your subject, you feel like an absolute legend.
There
when
is
you get it.
Definitely.
I'm rubbish at trawling through my mind and finding answers to stuff.
I'm brilliant at that.
What's through my mind?
Right. Yeah, I always trawl through your mind.
There is one here I'd back myself to almost get every single one.
Okay.
And you'll know what one it is.
I did do that once with the office characters. I think it was every character that had worked on the main floor.
Had been in the office.
And I'm just confident I could do every one of them.
Yeah. Anyway, it's best of five. I've got 5 topics. And I try and tailor it to people's taste. So you both, these are things you all have both played or know. So,
but guarantee there's a Metal Gear thing in there.
There's definitely a Metal Gear thing in there.
You don't know that. So, I'm trying to keep it relevant as well.
Okay.
Who's going first?
You can bid first, Al.
Okay.
You ask the question. I like an inquisitive mind.
All right.
Fine.
Currently in the game, there are 31 Overwatch heroes.
Okay.
How many of them can you name?
Oh, all right. Okay.
I need a bid quick, Al.
10.
10. He's going straight on with 10.
15.
How many are there in total?
31. I know, see, you both have played a lot, but you haven't played a lot recently.
Yeah.
Right,
16.
16.
17. Oh, go on then, name them.
Okay, all right. Fuck, I actually got to think about now. Right.
3, 2, 1, go.
Soldier 76.
He is in the game.
Lucio.
He is in the game.
Mercy.
She is in the game. I'm not going to do this every time.
May.
Yep, that's 4.
Zenyatta.
You love him. 5.
Yeah, Reinhardt.
Which I've just got to find him on my list. Yep.
Junkrat.
Yeah, he's there.
Oh, God, now I'm starting to blank.
That's 7. You need 10 more.
Okay, Brigitte.
That's a weird one to go for.
I know, right? I'm trying to get the ones 8. That like I shouldn't be able to think of. Like, what was that guy's
name? Nice way of like filling in the time.
Fuck, what's his name? Baptiste, is it? Yeah.
Baptiste, yeah.
I was going to say Batista.
You're
like
playing
the rest.
Get on with it. You've never played as any of these characters.
Okay,
that's 9.
Right.
You need 8 more.
Okay. Bloody hell, this should be so much easier. It's the pressure.
Six.
Seven. I do the timings here.
Okay. Wait. No, a diva.
Diva's one. It resets to 5 seconds every time you get one. There we go.
Oh my god, I can't, one. The pressure.
It's hard.
That's a good way to do that. Well done. That's a lot there, mate.
Oh my god, it's just the pressure. I just mind.
So you got 11, you needed 6 more. You could have had Tracer.
I know them all now. Yes. You're gonna say them.
Tracer, Reaper, McCree. Widowmaker, Pharah, Torbjorn, Hanzo, Winston.
Why did I blank on all these?
Bastion,
names?
Symmetra, Zarya, McCree, Genji, Anna, Sombra, Orisa, Doomfist, Moira, Wrecking Ball, Ashe, and Sigma.
I was so focused on like trying to think of the ones I shouldn't know that I forgot about the ones that's definitely
to
know.
Baptiste out the air is like fair play.
I could just see him for ages. I just couldn't think what his name was.
It's 1-0 to Al. The defensive tactic paid off.
I should have got that.
So this one I've had to bear me on the wording of this one because it's a bit fuzzy early on in this game series, but you can have this one as a freebie, including and since the first Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Okay.
There have been 14 Call of Duty core games.
Ooh. Since that the includes, first Modern Warfare?
There's been 14.
Have there?
Including that one. So that is one of the 14. So you get that as one of your 14.
Okay.
That includes no mobile ones. Console. It's the main series ones.
What about like, but no like ports, like Switch versions?
No.
Okay.
Has there been a Switch one?
There was one, I think.
Was there?
There was a port.
There was like a Vita one.
Oh, I don't know. Whatever. Right. 14 COD since Modern Warfare.
You go first, though.
7.
It's gone straight into 7. That's half of 14 for all the kids out there.
I'm going to go 8.
Okay.
9.
Go on, then.
Naming 9. Right, 9 of 14.
So since Modern Warfare.
You get that one as well. So that's a freebie. That's one of your one, okay?
Okay. Yep. So I've got 8 to get.
Yep.
Modern Warfare 2.
Yep.
Modern Warfare 3.
Yep.
Infinite Warfare.
Yep. That's 4.
Ghosts.
Yeah. That's 5.
Black Ops.
Yep.
Black Ops 2.
Yep.
Black Ops 3.
Yep.
I think there was a Black Ops 4.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's your 9.
Oh, is it?
Yes. Yeah.
There we go. Lovely. Yeah.
You could have.
I never thought I'd know more about COD than Overwatch characters.
Advanced Warfare.
Yep. Advanced Warfare.
And then, do you get the new Modern Warfare as well?
Yeah.
So you get two Modern Warfares. Is basically there was
a
for
world
free.
Was there a World at War?
There is. That's the second one.
Yeah.
It's two more you haven't get. Are you going to get? There's two that were back to back.
Oh, the World War II one or whatever it's called.
It's called World War II. Yeah. Yep. And there's one more, which I am counting as a core one.
Is that the Kevin Spacey one?
I'm counting Modern Warfare Remastered as...
That would have been the tricky one.
There we go. So that's one all. It's shaping up for a good game.
Lovely.
Okay, this one's over 2 pages, which is annoying.
Also, I haven't actually had to make a guess yet. I feel quite relaxed and stress-free.
You get to bid first this one.
You're a coward, mate. You keep giving
in. Okay, in the original Star Wars trilogy...
Okay.
Not the special versions, the original, not the Redux ones with all the new shit.
Okay.
The original
77,
cinematic
18,
release.
18,
yeah.
9 planets and moons are shown.
Ooh.
How many of those 9 can you... So they're shown, not referred to or anything. They are shown on screen.
Okay, are you going to guess, huh?
I'm going to
And I will say this now for you. We're not counting the Death Star as a moon or planet. It's a
space
man.
Station.
It's a space. Exactly.
Exactly.
Is it a moon? 6. No, it is not. It's going 6.
See, I've got 6 written down. Hmm. 7.
It's gone 7.
Go on, Naaman.
Oh, bastard.
Oh, do you know what? There's actually 8 because 1 appears in 2. So sorry. There is 8. So you need 7 of the 8.
Oh my god. Okay. All right, Tatooine.
Oh, do you know what? Oh. Sorry, I thought this completely. There is only 7.
Oh my god. Okay, right.
Sorry, because another one appears in 2. I apologise for everyone.
I'm going to do the 6 I've got and then hope that it comes to me at some point during this.
Oh, yeah, I do apologise.
Okay, Tatooine.
Yes, that is one.
So we're not counting the Death Star, right?
No.
Okay.
You're the master of filling time. I don't just say. Jesus.
Yavin 4.
Yeah.
Endor.
Yeah.
Hoth.
Yeah. Stop looking at my pages.
I'm not looking at them.
That's 4.
Dagobah.
Yes.
And I can't remember the name of the planet, but I've got Cloud City. I can't remember what that's floating above a planet. What is it called?
Sorry, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4. You've got 5 there. Sorry, there's 2 more.
I've got 5, but
I mean, Cloud City is the city. That's not the planet. So.
Shit. That's more than 5 seconds.
He's got 5 seconds now to think
and
of
also,
what that
I can
is.
Name what that is.
Okay, right.
And there's
Return
another
the
one
starts
as well.
Off in Tatooine and it goes to
2, 1. I'm sorry, Dale. No, right. Sorry. There's
best
2
bin.
More.
Best bin.
There
Jesus
we go.
Christ,
and then Alderaan.
It is Alderaan.
Oh,
there we go.
Oh, well, yeah, that one's, yeah, that's a tricky one, that
see,
one.
I chose that one
because... you only ever see the planet. You don't actually see...
But it's a... big part of
yeah,
that film.
I chose to do that because, you know, in the remaster they add fucking Coruscant and Naboo at the end.
Oh yeah.
Which I just
thought about that.
Just
yeah.
like Jar Jar screaming Weesa free at the end. Remember that in Coruscant.
I fucked that one a bit,
right?
But that is
maybe
2-1.
Maybe you should actually guess one for one.
At least I got the 2 missing ones.
Imagine if you'd have said, oh, okay, I'll do 8, and it's like, there's only 7. You'd have been laughing.
It's a couple more you could bat yourself at here. So here we go. But Dale does get first bid.
Okay.
In Rainbow Six Siege, there has been 21 maps that have existed at any point.
So I'm
terrible. So I'm not saying they're currently in rotation. There have been 21 maps.
Good. Okay.
You get to bid. And I need the actual name. I'm not accepting
even the
descriptions.
Names.
I'm awful with the names. I can't... Oh, I'm going to start with 3. I literally cannot think of the names. I can think of the one name we're working on for a video right now.
Is he giving away?
I'm going to go 4.
Yeah, 5.
Oh, Jesus. It's one of those, isn't it? When you see him, you know him.
Well, it's what they're called, is the thing. Yeah. You've gone 5, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll go 6.
Yeah, go on, name them, because I definitely can't 6. Make a 5.
All right.
Oh, dear.
It's the names. 6. I don't know the names. I couldn't do it for Overwatch either. I don't know the names.
I've got little pictures of them here as well.
House.
That's nice. House is there.
Hereford.
Yes. Got the H's.
Canal.
Yes.
Theme park.
Yep.
That's the one
that's
I can
4.
Think
2 more.
Yeah. yacht.
Yes.
Oh, is that what it was called? Right.
That's 5. 1 more.
Villa.
Villa is that one. Yes. There we go. Yes.
Skyscrapers one.
That is another one, yep. Yeah. That's 3-1 to Al, so he
Tower.
Has won the game, but there's still Towers one.
Good one. Oh, what else have we got?
Skyscraper, you said that one. Yeah. You've got Presidential Plane.
Of course.
Outback,
yeah.
Oregon, Cafe Dostoevsky.
Easy when you say them, isn't it?
Fortress. Favela.
Which one's Fortress?
Fortress is the Caid one.
Ah.
It's just a Middle Eastern fortress.
I thought... Oh, yeah.
Or Moroccan.
Really crap
Moroccan.
Camera placement.
Yeah.
Consulate, Coastline, Clubhouse, Chalet.
Clubhouse.
Border... Course. Bartlett University.
Oh, yeah.
And Bank.
That's Bartlett Bonk. University. They should do something like that.
So it is 3-1 to Albert. You're playing for pride here, Dale. Especially as it is Metal Gear time.
Oh, hey.
So this one.
God.
It's going to be all the bad guys.
Try to find a clear way of doing this, because some people have different definitions of these. So in 2005, IGN published...
Right.
Is it 2005? Have I got this wrong? So, doesn't matter. It's okay. No. Okay. So, I will say it was before Phantom Pain. So, there's no answers here from Phantom Pain. Okay.
Right, okay.
The 17 best Metal Gear Solid bosses.
Best by who?
By IGN God. Staff.
Okay. Right.
It wouldn't have been 2005. It was probably 2015. I've written that wrong. So, yeah. The 17 Metal Gear Solid bosses... here, I want you to name them. How you get to bid first, and there's none from Phantom Pain.
4, 5,
6. A confident 5. Ooh, a nonchalant 6.
7.
A bold 7.
Go on, name them.
No, 7.
Yeah.
Okay, I can do that.
Ooh,
But the problem is, like,
you don't know what these people think.
Are they all 17, or they're not? They're just the 17
favorites. That's why
favorites.
I said, because I didn't want to do all of them, because some people count some as mini bosses.
Okay.
Some people.
I'll say some that are definite. Psycho Mantis.
That will be there, won't
forgotten.
It?
Yeah. The End.
Yep.
Great boss.
Yeah.
He was number 2, so it's Psycho Mantis in the end, but 2 and 3.
So now that's where it gets tricky. So Revolver Ocelot, I guess.
Does he have a different name? Because I'm not overly familiar.
Liquid Ocelot at one point.
Liquid Ocelot is there.
Yeah. It's just when he's taken over by Liquid Snake. Well, he's not, but, you know.
But Revolver Ocelot, he should be in there from the first game.
From the first one, yeah. He's like the first boss you face. Yeah. Oh, I've just thought of another one, actually. Cyborg Ninja.
Yeah. That's four.
Sniper Wolf.
Yeah, that's five. How many did you say? Sorry, seven.
Yeah, I think
two
so.
Two more.
This is where it gets tricky, because I've got loads of other ones, but I don't know if they're the best. So, The Pain. Fuck.
That is one.
I know it. Yeah, I know it's a boss,
I know
but
it's
is
one,
in,
but he's not on the 17 best 17 list.
I've also got The Fear.
He's not on there either.
Fat Man.
What? Fat Man is there, yeah.
The Fear's a great boss.
Yeah.
Don't blame me.
Just Liquid Snake in general.
No, should I just read it? It's easier.
Metal Gear Rex.
Metal Gear Rain.
So, from 17...
Fear is not there. I feel for you there.
From 17 upwards, you've got Gear Rex from Peace Walker.
Yep.
Got Metal Gear Rays from 2.
Yeah.
Volgin from 3. Solidus from 2.
Yeah.
Metal Gear Rex. That's a terrible battle. Vulcan Raven. Laughing Octopus.
Yeah.
I forgot all the
Metal
four
Gear
ones.
Metal Gear 4 ones can fuck.
The bosses are great in 4.
Mm. I can barely remember them.
I thought they were brilliant.
Then there was Sniper Wolf, Fat Man, Liquid Ocelot.
I do remember the Mantis one in that. That was really good because it sort of echoed Psycho Mantis. Yeah, that's the name. Yeah.
Number 7, Olga.
Okay.
6, Cyborg Ninja. 5, The Sorrow.
Right. The Sorrow is just when you just walk through the water, isn't it? And you have to pretend to die, though,
but
don't you?
But it's really good.
Yeah, it's really clever how you have to...
Sorry, that was the thing. I thought that was the... not the. What's the Pain one, then?
The Pain is the one with all the bees, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 3 is just the best, isn't it?
3 is amazing, yeah.
4, Ray versus Rex.
Okay.
3, Psycho Mantis. 2, The End. And 1, The Boss from Metal Gear Solid
3. Oh, that was a great boss battle.
I wasn't thinking...
The Boss.
I wasn't thinking enough of the big ones. I was thinking of more the smaller ones.
There we go. Go on, name them. 4-1 to Al. You happy with that?
I'm very happy with that.
I mean, you only named him once, but...
Doesn't matter. That's the game.
Played the game. He played the game.
Exactly.
My confidence killed me.
Yeah. So we have some feedback.
Right,
so feedback is kind of dominated by Football Manager this week.
Right.
We put the call out. Would a spin-off be appreciated? We're overflowing with yeses.
Yeah, lots of tweets as lots of emails.
We're not saying it'll happen very, very soon, but... I mean, think it's something we're planning on doing.
Football Manager
soon.
Has to come out first.
We need to have been playing it for a bit. But maybe sometime in the next few weeks to a month.
I'd say maybe around Christmas might be a good time.
Maybe.
For it.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that a nice present for people?
Why not? They love it. You see the overwhelming positivity about it.
Not everyone has to open it.
Right, okay. Overwhelming positivity.
We haven't spoken. It is. There's no negative comments, right? We haven't spoken to Joe either, but it's definitely called It's Football Day, right?
It's got to be called It's Football Day.
It's called It's Football Day.
Why?
Because it's just
Chris Agreed
thing,
isn't
it?
IGN UK, It's Football Day.
It's Football Day.
So the first few bits of feedback here, I put the call out, another call out, too many call outs, for my suggestions of who I should play this season, because I needed one. Yeah. I needed people to weigh in on a lower league team.
I know who I think you should play
as. So we've got, first off, Al's got a pitch. By the way, thank you to everyone who suggested. I'm obviously not going to read out them all because there were much more
there was loads,
than I thought there would be. But this is basically the shortlist, and I may have decided.
So Alex from Ohio, getting straight in there with the Football Manager stuff.
I'm not playing as a team from Ohio.
He's not suggesting that.
Columbus.
The next team, Ohio? Destined for glory under Cardi's magnificent leadership. Who the fuck wrote this? Should be... Oxford United.
He lives in Ohio and he supports Oxford.
He might not.
The club meets the two most important requirements for the segment. They're down in League One. And you continue the Overwatch pun by calling the segment Oxenwatch.
Is that a good pun?
Well, it's eyebrows
bad.
Raised.
It's not bad.
In a positive way, I think.
Do you know what, on my level of puns, that's fine.
Well, I feel like the Overwatch connection is a bit tenuous now.
Yeah, we don't need it.
don't need it.
Do you want me to go into more detail?
Or are you
just happy there?
The
club have been on the precipice of success before, but came up just short. Under Cardi's steady managerial hand, that could change. You wrote this, didn't you?
Christ. I did not. I picked it.
The one time they qualified for European competition back in the 80s, English clubs were banned from participating. Mm. Shortly after, the club started their fall from the top flight of English football all the way down to League Two. Mm. Well, that's what Wikipedia says.
The pain I feel all too well.
As a Cov fan.
Yeah.
I only started following the club a couple of years ago. After I spent a summer there during law school.
There we go.
This year, They've had success in the FL Cup against bigger sides and just drew Man City for the quarterfinals, so that will probably end that run. The club deserves some time in the limelight, and this will just have to be the next best thing.
Okay, so pitch number one, Oxford
it's
United.
It's a good pitch. It's a good pitch.
Do you know what? It's a nice place to live as well if you want to settle down. Oxford. I've got to think about that in my
Oxford,
future family.
Yeah. I lived in Oxford for a year.
I went there recently and I was surprised how small it was. Yeah. It looked very nice. Anyway, is it me or is it you?
I think it's me. Okay. I've completely forgotten the name. I think it was James Watt, and if it wasn't, I apologise.
You got a right mare today, didn't you?
Look, I've got a lot on. says, hi guys, listening to the podcast there, and as a fellow Football Manager manager fan.
Okay.
First playing Championship Manager, 96-97.
That's when I started playing. Actually, 94 is when I started playing. But yeah,
I started.
It's not competition. It's not competition.
Ooh, you were a lot older.
I've never played Football Manager.
I thought I'd have a good suggestion. So, growing up in the Isles of Scilly meant that my local team choices were pretty limited. The two teams on the island, the Garrison Gunners or the Woolpack Wanderers, play each other every week. So there's no chance of promotion to other leagues. Google smallest league in the world for more. So the nearest big league team was always Plymouth Argyle, which is often my choice for Football Manager. The Pilgrims would be a good challenge for me, and they're something the same. It's weird if I speak in the third person. You know what I mean? And they're the largest city never to play in the English top flight. So getting them promoted to the Premier League is the first problem. I'd love to hear how they get on, and hopefully in Europe. I did bizarrely. I think it was FIFA 11, like my first year at uni. I played as Plymouth in career mode.
Why?
And I took them to glory. I don't know.
Argyle is a pretty cool name.
Green's my favourite colour. I've always liked that. I have a lovely kit, shade of green. I just wanted a challenge. I took them up. I remember buying...
So you've done it all then? So you don't need to be Plymouth again?
That is kind of my argument there. I've kind of been there, done that. I've been there, done that. I like the South Coast. Plymouth is nice enough. I bought Nolan Roux, a young French striker who went on to have an okay career.
How long ago was this?
I remember 8 years.
You remember exactly what striker you
I remember you buying Zat Knight, the towering defender, and he used to just dance through the midfield and score the odd screen.
Oh my God.
Next.
Right. Okay, this is from Mitchell Barham. Afternoon, chaps. After hearing about Cardi's request of a League One club to manage on our beloved Football Manager, I'm a Rochdale fan and we have some really good players come through the years, such as Ricky Lambert, Grant Holt, Adam Lafondre. Is it Lafondre or Lafondre?
Lafondre.
Lafondre. Lafondre. Craig Dawson. We've never been above League One and do have a brilliant youth squad. Hopefully you consider managing Rochdale and let me know every week. Let me know. Also, attendance will be shit until the big cup games. Cheers, boys.
Interesting.
So you're in demand here. People want your talent.
Dale's into Rochdale.
What was that?
Is this just for Cardi?
Yeah, I didn't put out the call. I'll play in his commentary.
Well,
there's no debate about it.
We haven't decided what our challenge is.
I support the idea of Rochdale. I don't know why. I got a tweet about the guy from the guy who wrote it in last week saying, not sure whether my comments were derogatory or not, or positive.
Well, I think you've got another piece of feedback there.
Oh, is that actually from him?
It might be.
It's just a good name. And it's not because it's got Dale in it. It's just a good name. Anyway, this is from Luke Hartley. Hiya, lads. Been a listener to the podcast since around 90, and it's been a great listen every week. Keep up the good work. Wanted to make a case for Cardi choosing Rochdale as his team for Football Manager 2020.
Two people want Rochdale out.
Rochdale is a town more infamous for its paedophile rings and having some of the most deprived areas in the whole country. But fuck that, it's a town with lots of character, and our claim to fame is that Hitler admired our town hall so much he refused to bomb Rochdale and wanted it reconstructed in Germany when he conquered the world.
Is that true?
I don't know. We'll take it. We'll assume he's done his research. Also, you know when you go over on your ankles? We call that a crookling. Is it crookling? Yeah, crookling. And it seems like nowhere else. Even towns less than a mile away use the same phrase, which seems mental. Anyway, Cardi, do the right thing. Take our team to the top. Bring some glory to a great northern town in dire need of it. Up the Dale. It's a good ending.
You'd love that.
I like that ending. Yeah.
You say up the Dale all the time.
Mr. D, isn't he?
Yeah,
I like Oxford as a town.
Yeah.
Plymouth, I've been there, I've done that. I have a bit of loyalty there. Yeah. I have friends still there.
Am I a fan of Oxford? Yes. Will I choose them?
But
no.
I think not only because Dale wants it, but we've had two different people.
Rochdale's a good show.
Yeah. Go for Rochdale. I think just sheer numbers too.
Also, infamous for its paedophile rings, so why wouldn't you choose it?
Gotta turn the place around. I need something else for them to be known for. It's going to be Rochdale.
Oh, yes. Is it? Good choice.
Why do you not both pick up the mantle and play as Rochdale and see who can be most successful at the
end? I thought that
of...
was a good idea.
Are you not up for
the
challenge?
I don't know if I can't not play as Kov.
Just start a new game, keep that one
going.
The
thing is, though, when I start as Kov, I already know the team I'm starting with.
That's the challenge.
It's the challenge. Maybe we'll get there.
I think he's a little bit nervous.
All right, on the new one, I'll play as Rochdale. As long as it gives me a son again, like, that's fine.
It will do. They don't only have kids in Coventry.
So what's the challenge?
From my experience, you do.
You both start with the same team. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Over how many seasons are we looking for?
The difference is, I play it on the mobile version. Yeah. Paddy plays the proper, like, full-fat version.
Right.
And my seasons go a lot...
You auto-assist on everything, basically.
my seasons go a lot quicker than his do.
Right.
Well, we'll see. Maybe you'll get into
it. But I can slow it down. Maybe we can keep updating each other, and I will play one season and see who does better in that
one workshop
season.
What
the challenge could be.
But I'm also... I got to keep my game going with Ian as well. Like,
yeah. Well, you've got
he's
a couple.
Doing
of,
well, he's in the first team.
You've got a couple of weeks. You'll be in what? Yeah, 3000 by then. Busted will be kicking it out. Rochdale it is. Stay tuned for. I don't know if there'll be a pun. Maybe it's just called Up the Dale.
Could do that. Oh, that's weird. Saying that every week.
you say it every day.
All right. One last piece of feedback from Pratik saying. We all talk about Football Manager, but I was wondering if any of you have tried a series called Total Extreme Wrestling.
I thought this was for Dale. It sounds interesting for him.
I don't know anything about it.
Oh, okay. It's basically a wrestling equivalent where you manage a company and have to deal with everything that entails, putting together shows, deciding matches, who wins. What? Surely you don't decide who wins.
In wrestling?
Surely that's just a fair fight, right?
Well, no. So I've played games like this before in the past, and sometimes you can decide the winner, sometimes you actually play as if it's legitimate.
Well, like every match should be, right? The last game of the series came out a while ago, but there are a few forums which people have all the information up to date, such as dated scenarios like the Monday Night Wars.
Yeah.
Does that sound interesting to you? What is the Monday Night? Was that a
the
thing?
Monday Night Wars was back in the 90s when WCW and WWE were two rival companies and they both had a show on a Monday night. And every week it'd be who got the higher ratings on television.
Highlight of the week. There you go. For me, that.
It was big.
One downside, not as well put together as Football Manager. And has a very steep learning curve.
Hey.
And the UI seems like it's made
You're
for resolutions from the late 90s.
I have played games like this in the past, but we're talking 15 years ago here.
But there's a new one coming out next year.
Ooh. It's also like
put it on mobile and I'll be interested.
It's also
I don't think he makes the game.
Also, the problem is with those games, they won't be officially licensed. So like Football Manager, you have all the official players.
Of course,
I want Roman Reigns in my game.
Also, Ian Driver. It's not officially licensed
well, that
player,
takes
is it?
25 years to get to that point. Like, for the first years, it's all like, I had Jadon Sancho playing with me until he retired, and now he's in my coaching staff. So, there is realistic.
I used to play, for a little while, the cricket equivalent, but that is nowhere near as good. Yeah. It doesn't feel like you have much power over much.
They used to have a version like that for wrestling in WWE games. It's called General Manager Mode.
Right.
And they stripped it out about, I don't know, 8 years ago, and every year people complain that it's not back. They always want it back.
Really?
Maybe next year.
They'll have to do something for next year.
They'll have to redeem themselves somehow, Dale.
Yeah.
Well, next week you'll have to redeem yourself because that was a shocking goal name and performance.
Oh, right, yeah. Sorry about that. I was wondering where you were going with that.
I think Play Us Out, we'll have some Death Stranding music. They actually just yesterday released the Bring Me the Horizon song from it, which I think is pretty good.
I was going to say, last week we were talking about putting the Bring Me the Horizon song and then I realised it wasn't actually
but
released.
But now it is. Yesterday they released it, so.
It's a banger.
Have it. You call this a connection? You call this a connection? Oh, give me a break!
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Linsky.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.